Hi everyone, I'm Gina Husser, your host of the 30 Seconds to Peace Telesummit. I hope you're enjoying this time with us. We've learned some incredible tools to stay in peace and power, and we're going to keep going today. We have with us Mel Duane. Mel is a life recovery coach who is passionately committed to empowering women in releasing the shackles of shame, pain, and self-condemnation to a life of passion and purpose. Mel experienced her own transformation journey and went on to build a multi-million dollar real estate company from scratch. She's the best-selling author. Mel, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, Gina, I'm honored to spend this time with you, girl. I love what you're doing here.
Oh, thank you so much. And likewise, I love what you do. And I want to jump right in. You wrote an amazing book, Alpha Chick, and I want to get right into that. Those two words. What is an alpha chick?
An alpha chick is an awakened, authentic, and abundant woman. And what I mean by that, when you're awakened, you're tapping into your inner consciousness. You're looking within for your guidance. You're authentic because you love yourself, you accept yourself just as you are, and you're abundant because you are grateful for everything that you have today. You're not constantly pursuing more stuff, more things. You are completely at peace with what you have today.
I love that. It's a wonderful, empowering message. And, you know, all of us are recovering from something, whether it's an actual addiction or something like low self-esteem, fear of change, and shifting our life story to one of peace and power is exactly what this summit is about. So I want to get right to the book because you have a wonderful five-step plan that is an acronym for the word FAITH. Can you share those five steps with our listeners?
I would be happy to. Women need to develop more beliefs within themselves, and that's really what this concept, these five steps of faith, which is a life-changing formula, will do. They're so simple but so powerful. The first step, F, is for focus, and that is going within, developing a meditation practice, tapping into that higher guidance that we are all born with, but we lose sight of it as life progresses because it becomes covered over with the debris of life, other people's opinions and beliefs. So we need to get back to cleaning the slate and tapping into that divine intelligence that's there for us. Get quiet, settle down, slow the mind down so that you can hear that very distinct voice that's within all of us. The second step is acceptance and attitude. And when we accept ourselves just as we are, knowing that we are perfect beings, we were created as divine divas, as divine women. Once we can embrace that, get back to that connection, and accept ourselves as we are, all the attitudes that we have about all the past junk, the stuff that we've been dragging around with us forever like an old suitcase, will start to dissipate. Mm-hmm. What we did in the past, Gina, has no bearing on who we are today. It does not define us today. And that's a very important lesson for your listeners. The third step is identification and intention. Mm-hmm. We all have bad habits. We all do self-sabotaging things, and not consciously sometimes. Mm-hmm. So we need to look at what we're doing that is holding us back from being the divine woman that we want to be, or the divine man, if you have men listening today. It is, we have to to identify what is that that I'm doing over and over and over again that is creating the chaos and failure in my life. Once we identify those behaviors, then we can set new intentions. And I use the word intention because it has much more power than a goal. A goal is a wish on paper. An intention has the soul of the universe behind it. It keeps you very committed.
It does. I love that one.
T is for thoughts. There has been so much written about the power of positive thinking, but people need to understand that our thoughts show up as our reality. What we think about is what we create. So if we are consumed by negative thinking, guess what? We are thrown into negative experiences. So we really have to pay attention. And I have a wonderful little practice that I use to monitor, change my thought process. And depending on the individual, they could use either one of these. One is that you wear an elastic band on your wrist. And every time you catch yourself thinking something negative, you pull that elastic band. It becomes a trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you don't want to do that, you can, every time you catch yourself thinking something, that the negative self-talk, negative thoughts, negative beliefs, you tap yourself on your right temple. Just give yourself a couple of taps, 4 or 5, to break your train of thought so that you're able to consciously choose to think something that is more supporting of the kind of life you want to live. It sounds like a lot to do, but it's really not. And you do that for 2 or 3 weeks, you're going to be a very positive thinker. You automatically, you're like, whoop, nope, not going to think that.
That's right.
I'm
going
to think about this. It's not hard to change. And the fifth step, which is really the most powerful one, is once you have healed, then you need to go and help others. And when I say healed, I mean that you have pulled all your energy into your core. You're no longer scattered and in pieces every day. You're solid. Your dimmer switch is turned all the way up. You're beaming light. You are a balanced, strong, empowered being. And when you are at that vibrational level, you know it, you feel it, you're rocking it. I mean, you have this unstoppable, you know, sense of purpose and passion. That's when you need to go and help others and find others that are in need and share what you know. Because when you do that, it's the law of reciprocity. And what you give out to the universe will come back to you tenfold. So it's extremely powerful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. And like you said, I love that you used the word simple, because none of these things are hard to do once you set your intention to do them. So I love that. I love that. I want to talk about something else I read in the book that's so important, and that's that you're not teaching your readers how to be like Mel, how to be like you, but rather how to create their own unique Elsa chick story. And that's so important, because we're so good at comparing ourselves to what everybody else is doing. Do you find that a lot of women are sort of just living for others and not really taking stock of their own core wants and passions because we're just so darn busy?
Women have a kind of predisposed condition where they look to others for validation. They look to others for their direction. They look to others for their truth. And that's not where it is. Everything comes from within us. I'd like to start a revolution about living life from the inside out. And if we did that, and that's what these 5 steps are about. It's all about working with everything that you already have. You're born with all of this. You just need to tap back into it. The word alpha also means from the beginning. And from the beginning, we were all born equal, with the same qualities and attributes. Some of us use them, some of us don't. A lot of us, life gets in the way and clutters our mind and fills our mind with junk. And if we can apply this process, what happens is now you get back to you. You get back to the real you, the authentic you, the one that's going to show up and live your life as the best expression of you. You don't want to be somebody else. They're already taken. You want to be you, the most powerful, passionate, beautiful you. And that's living life at the top of your game when you show up as you.
Absolutely. And I had this question written further down the line, but I think this is a perfect time to ask it. What are some favorite questions that you can share that we can ask ourselves to really connect with our own truth and our own story?
Well, I'm a kind of visual audio learner, kind mm-hmm. of an odd combination. Some people are, you know, very defined. They learn either by hearing or by reading. But I like to work with images, and I say to women and to men, look at your life. Are you like a dog chasing your own tail? Mm-hmm. And ultimately, that tail is wagging the dog instead of the dog wagging the tail. That means something's out of control here. And what is it? And most people don't realize that they have something that truly is out of control in their lives. And it could be food. It could be alcohol. It could be drugs. It could be sex. It could be overspending. It can be procrastination. There can be so many things that we're constantly doing over and over and over again that now controls our lives. So that would be the first thing. What is that? Identify mm-hmm. what we're doing that has taken control. Ask yourself that. The second thing is, ask yourself once you identify that, because now you're looking at what's not right in your life. Now ask yourself, what would be nice?
Mm-hmm.
What would I like to have?
Absolutely.
What would I like to create?
And I want to say, too, you and I talked about this beforehand, it doesn't have to be, you know, we might have listeners who are saying, well, I don't have any of that. I don't have an addiction to shopping or alcohol or anything. But everybody, like we said earlier, has an addiction to something. Are you allowing yourself to think those negative thoughts? Are you not speaking up about some kind of pattern in your life that's not working, or saying yes when you mean no? So it doesn't have to be something that's textbook, right? There are things we can
right.
go deep about and say, okay, what have I done here to create this?
Beautiful, Gina. Absolutely. A lot of women have no boundaries. They
mm-hmm.
don't know when to say no. They say right. yes to everybody by sacrificing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
When you say yes to somebody, what are you doing to yourself? How are you compromising your life? So that could be a perfect example. You don't know when to say no, or they're caught up in their negative thoughts, or they're wasting time. Some people are addicted to TV and computers. I know women that spend more time, they're not employed, they're household mothers, they spend more time on the internet than people who I work with that are professionals that, you know, use it as a business.
Sure.
So there are many things that can get out of control that have nothing to do with substance.
That's
it
right.
It can be just behavior.
Mm-hmm. And getting back to what you said about it being simple, too. I mean, can a goal, for instance, if we want to start moving into that alpha chick territory, can a goal be as simple as, for today, I'm only going to say yes when I mean yes?
And you know what? I would make it my intention for the day. I would get up and say, today, my intention is that I'm going to have boundaries. And if somebody asks me to do something I'm not comfortable with, I'm going to say no. And that's hard to do. I was just confronted with this today. I had one of my girls who's in recovery ask me to do something, to accompany her at something, and I don't know if I can do that because of my business schedule on that particular day. And if I don't honor other commitments that I have scheduled for that day, then I'm putting myself into a tailspin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I had a very difficult time with it, but this is things we have to do. You have to honor your time, yourself, what you're capable of, what you're not capable of. And you can't say yes when it puts you in a situation of complete chaos.
Absolutely.
And discomfort.
It trickles down, doesn't it? It trickles down, and suddenly you're impatient and you're, you
you're
know,
angry,
operating.
You're frustrated, you're taking it out on your family, you're taking it out on your friends, you're at your workplace and you're pissed off and you're yelling at people because you said something, you said yes to something you should have said no to.
Exactly, exactly. I think we've all been guilty of that at one time or another.
Yeah.
I read something you wrote about how many women and men are hiding behind energetic veils. What did you mean by that?
What happens is that so many of the painful things that happen to us as we're growing up, they leave scars on our heart. They leave marks. And I tell people, you know what? We're born absolutely perfect, clean slate, wonderful. And then guess what happens? We meet our parents. know? And then it starts. And then we meet our second grade teacher, and she has an opinion. And then we meet the kid next door, and they put their 10 cents worth in. What happens is people say and do things that leave imprints on us. And if we're not careful, these other people's beliefs and perceptions of who we are and what we should do create a veil and keep us from who we deserve to be and who we want to be. And it's very common that I meet women that are hiding behind a veil of shame or guilt because of things from the past that really aren't important anymore, or men who have done things that they're embarrassed about, or things that happened to them when they were small that they're carrying still with them in adult life, and they hide behind this veil. And sometimes in a male, they'll be very aggressive because of it. That's how they mask that veil. Pull it away. Let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Step out from that. That's no longer who you are.
Well, and I like what you said before about whatever happened in the past has nothing to do with who you are today. And I think that's so powerful. You know, every day that we wake up is a chance to start over and to be the person that we want to be and lift that veil. So I love that. I've never heard that term before. It's really a nice imagery.
Every day is the fresh beginning. Every day is the first day of the rest of your life. That's the way I look at it.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. You know, moving from pain to power is something that resonates deeply with me, and it's the reason I do what I do. And, you know, it's certainly an ongoing journey, as you know, but I've gotten a lot of people, and this is exactly what this is about, who say, well, my biggest challenge is staying in peace when I need to do it quickly, when I'm confronted with somebody who pushes my buttons or I'm confronted with some kind of unexpected challenge. I had a woman just the other day who said she was in the grocery store and realized she didn't have her wallet, and there was a line of people behind her, and she felt her anxiety rise. And, you know, how do we shift in that moment, at a moment's notice, from anxiety or pain to just a place of peace?
Well, it takes a little practice. If you develop the right mindset. So what happens is this is not an instant kind of fix, but this is something that can be acquired. And it really is developing a peaceful mindset. And where does that come from? That comes from a meditation practice. When you learn to slow your mind down, when you learn to shut off that negative little voice that is within you, which is really the ego, I call my ego Louise, and she can chatter nonstop, and she can tell me how bad I am, how, you know, undeserving I am, that I'm not capable of this. What was I thinking? I have to shut that little voice off. And I've learned to do that through a daily meditation practice. So what happens is when you have that ability and you have a quiet mind, it's very easy to maintain that state of mind when you step into a situation that can be chaotic or frustrating, where somebody's pushing your buttons. What happens is you do not live life as a reactionary any longer. You live life evaluating and contemplating, but not being a reactive person.
Mm-hmm.
So you think things through. You don't necessarily shout out, scream, react, holler. You say, oh, okay, well, let me step back. Let me fix this. Okay. I'm not going to respond to that comment. It's not going to do me any good. You just have a more peaceful sense of presence when you quiet the mind down, quiet all those screaming thoughts that go on. Our brains never stop all day long. It's massive.
Right.
They have more power than any computer that's ever been constructed. I can't remember how many million thoughts can go through our head in a day. If you can just learn to slow that down and just become a more conscious being, you can be a more peaceful being.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I said this before throughout the summit, but I resisted meditation for years, and I'm so sorry I did, because once I started, it's amazing the difference in your life. You sort of, if you can do it in the morning, it changes the whole day. And when you're confronted with those sort of knee-jerk challenges, those challenging situations, you come to them from a place of peace and power. You know, you don't even look at them as challenges. It's kind of like, well, oh well. You know, you let go of what you can't control, and you know, it's such a better way to live. It's a better way to live. And
I think, Gina, the reason why people are resistant to it is because they think it's a little woo-woo, or you have to do it a certain way. Well, that's not it at all. Meditation is a very personal experience. You can do it any way you want that feels right to you. And there's no right way or wrong way to meditate. You only do it your way. And all it will do is, it's just about slowing the mind down. I don't want people to think that they're going to be, you know, levitating off of couches or things like that. That's not what happens. You're perfectly conscious the whole time. You hear every car horn. You hear the dog bark. You hear the phone ring. But the thing is not to allow yourself to become distracted while you're meditating. So it's really having some control over your thought process and your reactions, and just being in a very peaceful, present state, just observing. What happens is, when you meditate, you become the observer of your life.
Absolutely.
And when you're the observer, you're in a place of peace and power.
Exactly, and you come to, at least I do, and I'm sure you do too, you come to enjoy that time with yourself. It's kind of a wonderfully calm way to start the day, right?
If I didn't meditate every morning, when I skip a day, I know it. Because in the afternoon, all of a sudden I'm getting a little agitated by things that are absolutely meaningless. I find that I'm rushing rather than kind of just sailing through my day. And I get so much more accomplished when I'm working within a state of peace and complete comfort and focus, rather than distraction and being pulled in different places. So it's the most beneficial thing we can do for ourselves. It costs nothing. You don't have to have expensive clothes, tools, places to go to do it. You do it within your own home. I sit in the same place every day, very comfortably, to do my meditation.
And it doesn't have to look like an altar. I sit on my bed, on a pillow. It doesn't.
Nope.
It can be anywhere.
It can be anywhere. I create like a little sacred space in my home where I have a little candle, and it's my little place to go and unplug. But you can do it anywhere. You can do it on a treadmill. You can do it walking outside. There are beautiful, you know, you can do a wonderful walking meditation where you focus on the steps that you're taking and how many steps, and really feel your walking, feel your feet touching the ground. It's a beautiful practice.
It is. It really is. And believe it or not, we're almost out of time. But I do want to ask one more question. Because the law of attraction, you know, everybody's read about it. Everybody's seen the movie and all that stuff. And now how does that factor into realizing and connecting to our alpha chick story? Is there a way to use the law of attraction in conjunction with building the future we want from the alpha chick point of view?
Absolutely. I love the law of attraction. I think it's brilliant. But there's a key component here that they don't discuss, which is something that I talk about in Alpha Chick. If you do not feel you're deserving of what you want, you can ask for it, pray for it, scream, write letters for it, whatever. But it's not going to show up if you are not a vibrational match for what you want. Doesn't happen. So the most important part of the law of attraction is getting yourself prepared for what you want and believing within your deepest core that you are deserving of what you're asking for. That's the magnet. Mm-hmm. Believing that you are worthy and deserving of what you're asking for. And that has been the stumbling block for many, many people. They say, oh, I want this and I want that, but it didn't show up, and why isn't it coming? Because at their very, very deep core, they did not believe they were deserving of it.
You're absolutely right, and I hate to put you on the spot, but I would love to hear your take on, is there something we can say in our heads that reminds us that we're worthy when those thoughts creep up?
Yes. Again, it goes back to the meditation or to the quiet mind. When we are sitting in that quiet state is when we discover who we really are as human beings and the magnificence that is within us. And no matter what anybody has done to you or said to you, can never, ever, ever take away that inner beauty and divine magnificence that you're born with as a human being. We're all created by God. Now, not everybody believes in God. Maybe they believe in Buddha. Maybe they believe in Mother Universe. Whatever. We've all been created by a higher, more powerful, magnificent energy that created the planets, the trees, the birds, the sky, the stars. Mm-hmm. And that magnificence is within each one of us. And all we have to do is reconnect to that and understand our true beauty as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
We were not put on this earth to suffer. That's not the game plan. We were put here to live lives of joy and happiness. And what we need to do, it's our responsibility to reconnect to that. If something's happened that's pulled you off your path, you need to step back on that path. And I'm here living proof to anybody that's listening today that no matter how far down you have gone on the wrong path, you can always turn around and change direction.
Absolutely. What a great way to wrap things up. And now, how can people best get a hold of your book and get a hold of you if they'd like to check out your site and continue the conversation?
Gina, thank you for asking. You can go to alphachick.com, alphachick.com. The book is on Amazon, so just type the name in. But feel free to go to the website. You can reach out to me. There's a lovely 15-minute free kind of coaching session that you can have with me if you've got a burning desire to get some answers to some questions. There's a quick little contact form. So I'm here for your listeners, happy to help anybody. And, you know, we have the free action guide and the MP3 audio file to the five steps. They can get that. So I'm here to support your audience. And thank you so much for letting me share the time with you. This is wonderful. I love what you're doing.
Oh, thank you, Mel, and I hope everybody will head over to the site. You know, Mel and I were speaking briefly before we started recording the call, and, you know, it doesn't matter if your life doesn't look like a movie or a news story, if you're having any kind of quiet inner struggle and you have any kind of feeling that your life is not what you want it to be, you know, you do have a choice, and Mel's book is a great blueprint for moving through that. So, Mel, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you, Gina. The best to you.
You too.